Hello and welcome to another edition of the In Context podcast. Today I'm joined by a good friend of mine. It's Vin Diesel's granddad.
I'm not gonna banter back on that one, but again, but like you know what I mean, yeah, we love our names as Christian brothers. We love our banter, don't we, brother?
We do, yeah. We like to have a bit of dark humour, like to insult each other, but not really Vin Diesel's granddad, is it? Nicky the Great.
I tell you what it is, I look on this now on the video. And yeah. All my face is like all like wrinkly, and yours is nice and smooth. What's going on, man? Cleanse yourself with olive oil or something like that.
Yeah, put a face mask on before we start.
That man looks like a gargoyle. Looks like my head just fell off of the medieval church, like a gargoyle.
Oh, class. So it's Nicky Coulson, not Vin Diesel's granddad, isn't it? So tell us a little bit about yourself, Vin Diesel.
My name's Nicky Coulson, and I'm married, and I've got 7 children. I live in South Bank. I've always been brought up in South Bank. I work on various sites. I've been, at the moment now, I'm in over the Middlesbrough, over the border, doing a new build on the building. With contractors and that, and just enjoying things at the moment now, enjoying life at the moment.
Nice one. Well, South Bank is one of the most deprived towns in the country. It's in East Middlesbrough. It's a place that I grew up. I lived next door to your sister when I was a young boy. Next door to your brother-in-law, Shirley Holmes.
yeah.
And I knew your brother, Darren. But I didn't really get to know you because you're a couple of years older than me.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't really get to know you until latter years. I was a Christian. I was working as a chaplain in South Bank, taking the gospel out, and I was meeting with a couple of your mates. And I remember the first time I met you, you were on a bike and you had this little cart on the back with a couple of your kids in the back of it. You were pedalling all over. And I was with your mate, Paul. And I just remember you giving me the evils when I was chatting that. You were a bit of an ignorant man when I first met you, to be honest.
Well, I was a bit of an, basically, when I look back there, man, it's, I can't recognise myself today. I was like a proper angry man, very territorial man, didn't know anybody. Night, Dal. Night. Yeah, I was quite territorial, so if I didn't know anyone in my neighbourhood, I would scowl, I would foul, I would try to stress them out. You know, that's the way I was. That's how I was brought up in that neighbourhood. But like I said, I seen you, because obviously you go now and see one of my best mates, Paul, and that's how I got to know you, didn't I? We ended up, from then, we've been quite close now, brother, aren't we? Yeah. From that. You know what I mean? We are quite close. I respect you a lot, and you've been a massive part of my life, sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like with friendship and that, and as someone who I look up to. You know what I mean? As a man of God, you know, so you need people like that in life. People who are strong in the faith to obviously to confess stuff and confidentiality and stuff. Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's funny because, for someone who was so, you weren't just suspicious of me, but you were suspicious of Christians. You had no time for God. You were a busy man with a few fingers in a few pies. And I remember one night, like, talking to you, and you were like, yeah, horses for courses. And, like, if the Bible's good for you, that's good for you. And you weren't really interested, and you were trying to be polite. As I got to know you, I realised that you were a nice bloke, and you were a polite man, and you were like trying to like tell me you weren't interested in the gospel in the nicest way ever. But just explain a little bit about what was going on in that time of your life, because I was going around sharing the gospel with Big Paul, and he was one of your best mates. And yeah, man, Paul comes from a similar background to us. And what was it like to see this man who you'd spent your whole life growing up with and knocking around with, to see him suddenly becoming a god botherer? What was going on in your mind?
I love Paul. I've always have. He's a proper gentleman. And I can remember where he went. He used to play a lot of football, a big heavy man. He was a big bloke. And from playing football, he had a lot of weight carrying. So he'd done his knees in as the years went by, the way, into head. And I can always remember going round his house, and he was suffering with 2 knee operations, and he was going down the stairs on his bum all the time, up and down the stairs. And he was struggling a lot with his mental health. I could see he was deteriorating so bad. So I was going round every day because it was a good mate of mine, just to check up on him, to see him. And I seen the man, he was really in a bad place. But I had no faith whatsoever, you know. I just went round there as a good friend of his, because he always used to go round there. So it was it was natural going round there all the time to see him, you know what I mean? And it's one day, do you know what I mean? He's always whinging, like Victor Meldrum used to call him. He's always whinging, yeah, as you do, yeah. Anyway, I went in one day and I couldn't believe it, Ian, man. It blew me away. This is the seed that come into my head. You might have planted in my head. I went in his house and I walked in the front room, and I just seen this big, massive smile beaming. He was just full of the joy of God, beaming on him. I walked in and I was like, what's up? What's happened to you, brother? Have you won the lottery or something, mate? He goes, no, brother, I've met Jesus. I went, oh. He went, Jesus. I loved him, you know, I respect him. I said, hey, brother, as long as you're making you happy, mate, different strokes for different folks. Man, I respect you, man, as long as you're in a good place. And I genuinely meant that, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I seen him he's suffering, and I seen him so happy. I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't know. I didn't have, my world, Jesus didn't exist in my world, you know what I mean? Never heard of him. And I just looked and I just thought, if it's good for you, good, well done, you know what I mean? But I genuinely meant it, because I seen the change in him. As it was going down, and I seen the change in him and getting him, he was getting well, putting weight back on. He was just getting stronger and stronger day by day. And I just knew something was in him, you know what I mean? But at the time, in that time of my life, I had a load of issues, man. I had drug addictions. I was in my fingers with all sorts, and went down like drug dealing. My relationship with my wife had now, we were both in addiction, was absolutely chaotic. I had to leave my house because it got that bad. I had to live in separate houses, you know what I mean, because it got that volatile and chaotic. And I love my wife now. Well, we're married now, I love it a bit, but we couldn't live together. We had so much stuff going on, you know what I mean? It just was unbearable to live, you know what I mean, with each other. So I made a conscious decision to just move out. It broke my heart to move out of my own family home with my children and that, because it got that bad. I went on a journey, my journey, and Krista went on her own journey. She went back to the church where she got brought up. She did that with all her stuff, and obviously she became a Christian, but I wasn't a Christian now, still in the well. So, why I was in my house, separated, I come out of a pub one night. I've been on like a 4-day bender on drugs, drinking drugs. So I jumped in a high performance car, went to go and look for some more drugs, cocaine. As I left round the corner, the car went out of control, span out of control, and smashed straight into a wall, a corner on Strauss Road. But there was a camera on the corner where Strauss Road was when I got out of the car. And I knew the lads whose car I smashed into, and I just said, listen, brother, I'll pay for it. I'll come round and give you the money. But time then, the police have come and locked us up. And that is exactly where my life was. And that car crash that happened, that's exactly where my life was, a car crash. And from then on, I knew I needed help. I just knew because my life was just spiraling, totally out of control from all angles. And I just started getting myself into a recovery and an innate program. But I've always knew God was there, because soon as I surrendered my drugs that day, of surrendering that day and making a conscious decision to sort my recovery out, I got clean, never touched a drug again. You know what I mean? I haven't touched a drug now for about 12 years now. Do you know what I mean? And I haven't went back to that life. But then obviously, you know what I mean? God doesn't sort everything out. I still had all my dishonesty and stuff. And obviously when I was going to NA and it was a spiritual life program. You hand your life over, you're praying that. But it's like you pray to a higher power. I just knew God was real. Do you know what I mean? And I can always remember when I went there, I had other things like dishonesty. I was still living dishonestly, you know what I mean? And there was one time I cultivated some weed, a lot of weed, and I ended up getting locked up. And that's when I broke. That's when I really surrendered to the Lord that day, because I knew the Lord was working in me. And he took everything from us, to everything. And I can remember going to this weed and while I was cultivating, and I got robbed. But as I was in the room and cleaning up, the area next door, neighbours phoned up, you know what I mean? And anyway, the police come, and then I ended up getting locked up and all. So I was absolutely fuming. Yeah, so anyway, I ended up, that was it, man. My head was done. I was in the police station and everything was falling apart, man. And I just surrendered straight away. I screamed surrender anyway. I just knew God was on my case, and I just went, yeah, like sweating. I'm done. Can't do this no more. And I've been out and out of prisons all my life. I've never, you know what I mean? And prison was nothing to me. But it was then. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I just had a conscience and I just wanted to change. And I just surrendered. And that day I surrendered my dishonesty. I haven't done dishonesty. And I've never went back to crown. It was mad. Each surrender I'd done, God worked it out. But it was just a journey. It didn't just happen overnight for me. It happened stages in my life. You know what I mean? But it was hard work. You know what I mean? You had to conquer us. You know what I mean? And I had to surrender to my will to him. Yeah. And but I can always remember I ended up working away. But I ended up working with one of my pals called Peter Lacey, who I've worked with in the past. And then I went back working away because I knew I had to work away. Get out of the way. Anyway, I was in a caravan in Wales, and I was with his brother and all, and the proper like alcohols were Peter and them. Yeah, another session every night. And this is where I got strong in my faith and my prayer life. For 6 months, brother, I was in the back room on my hands and knees, brother, please, no, maybe. And he answered the prayers every day, please help me stay clean. And that's when I knew then. I left NA and I knew I had to follow Jesus. And at the time, NA was good to understand my addiction, but I knew I was going to another level. I knew I needed to go to get set free from that. Because NA is about, your addiction is your defects, your character, but basically it's your sin. I was addicted to sin, not drugs. And I realised that, and I was addicted to everything that was displeasing to God. That I needed separately. I needed Jesus. I needed a saviour. I didn't need any program. I needed a saviour. So, and that's when I knew. I directed myself to that. And ever since then, I haven't looked back. You know what I mean? I'm married now. My wife's a baptised Christian. And my life is so much better than I don't even recognise myself sometimes, you know what I mean? God's kept these qualities and characters in us, you know what I mean? But, man, I don't recognise myself sometimes, you know what I mean, to who I was. He's just absolutely done a miracle, all pleasing to him. He's just done the mighty work in us. You know what I mean? I've just followed him, and he's done the works in me. And like I say, well, I had to leave. I knew I had to leave in here because there was a stronghold. I needed to be set free. I was going there like 3 times a week, and I could see myself I was grown and outgrown the people that were there for 20 years.
Yeah.
Spiritually, you know what I mean? Because and I just knew, and I couldn't talk about Jesus in the rooms or anything like that. And I got even Christians in the rooms who've been 20 year baptized. Christians go, "No, don't dare talk about Jesus in here." And I'm thinking, "Whoa, what's going on here? You're a Christian. Should be carrying the gospel, man. Should be carrying the good news. There's no good news in here." Do you know what I mean? People need them. It's good for addiction, but it's so much more to that. You know what I mean? Addiction, so much. It's not so much more to do it. And that's when I recognised it was sin, not defects. It was sin. Once I recognised that, then freedom come. You know, I'm a sinner. I'm not an addict. I'm a flipping sinner. Do you know what I mean? Riddled in it. I was riddled from head to toe. Everything. Gambling.
So how did that affect you then? Because first of all, it was like you were losing friends to Jesus, so your best mate was becoming a Christian, and then you must have felt like on the outside with Paul when he got saved, and then you become a Christian, and then you start going to NA, then all of a sudden you're an outsider in NA because you went there, and you must have felt great when you first went there, getting support, people could understand you, been through what you've been through, then all of a sudden you're sharing about Jesus and people are telling you to shut up. What was that like?
I struggled with it, and that's what I left, and I realised when I did leave, it was like sort of like a click, because that was it. I wasn't part of that no more, and it was the people who were in here who had good strong relationships, I haven't now, and the people that I was close to, some following the Lord, and the Lord got plans and purposes for us, and he's mightily showed up in my life. There's people that who I've got with are not even, they're not close to me no more. It's quite strange, you know what I mean? And who I was really close with, you know what I mean? There's quite distance, it says, doesn't it? When you chatting with the Lord, you're like a bad smeller. Do you know what I mean? But I've had to keep focusing and just keep focusing, man. And it's not about me. It's not about pleasing other people. It's pleasing God. And I've had to keep plowing on and not take it personal, because people are in different places in life, aren't they? And you just got to respect the where they are. And I've just got to focus where God's taking us. It's quite a battle, because God's moving, and as you move, things come against you. You know what I mean?
So there was a lot going on relationship wise, wasn't there? And then so you separated from your wife, and then she gets saved. You're becoming a Christian. What led to 1 minute you're in NA and in a prison cell, looking at maybe he's going back to jail, and the next minute you're walking down the aisle.
I look back, brother. I tell you now, mate, and I tell you now, I even sit with my wife and I think, what on earth? What has happened to you? Absolute. God's done a miracle in us, because me and Chrissy were the worstest couple you've ever met and seen. You know what I mean? You just call me the Black Bank King. You know what I mean? I used to get kicked out every week, and then I never used to unpack my bag, my black bags. They just leave them in the passage.
For those listening who don't understand what black bagging is, that's when you're kicked out by your wife and she puts all your clothes in a bin bag.
Yeah, I didn't even used to get them. I never even unpacked. I never used to unpack. Yeah. I just leave them in the bag because I knew where I was going. But what God's done in that man, now, what he's done in my wife is absolutely amazing. Stuff what my wife is at the moment, now what she's studying, she's built charities. Man, this is a woman that comes who's addicted to amphetamine, coke, drink, and broken, suicidal to the point now where she's, man, it's amazing. Do you know what I mean? In the space of 6 years, mate. Do you know what I mean? I've been a Christian now for about 7 years. Well, that's been about, I think, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it's just an amazing journey. On the faithful, loving God he is, man. He's he's a God of his promises, and he's just so faithful, man.
Mm.
It's just, yeah.
It's great to see your family. You've got 7 kids. It's a gospel house. It's full of children. It's full of homeless. It's full of drug addicts. It's full of everyone. You've got an open house, haven't you? So explain a little bit of what happened, because you were restored to God. You were restored together as a couple, and God's worked massively in Krista's life and your life, and I'm just so excited to see what God is doing. You've moved back to South Bank. So just share a little bit of what it was like. Because at the moment, we'll get on to that. At the moment, what you're doing is you're running like missionaries, running like a gospel home as a gospel witness within the town you grew up in. But before you started in your ministry, you were doing ministry in your day-to-day life, in your community and in the work.
Yeah.
So what was it like?
My heart has always been for the South Bank people, because I've been brought up in the South Bank, and as I grew up, I never had a dad, so I related with the kids on the streets and all, with no fathers and that, you know, because I was that kid. I didn't have a dad, didn't have no guidance, and I know kids need to see role models and strong men and women in their lives, you know. They need to see like mother figures and father figures and that. Yeah, and but like I said, you usually have to work all your life to get out of South Bank. And you've made it, you know what I mean? Because you've got out the hood. We moved to Flax Lane. That was quite posh. Do you know what I mean? We had a beautiful house there, rented. But we've ended up coming back to South Bank and bought our own house in South Bank. So the Lord's brought us back to South Bank for 20 years. Do you know what I mean? And I'm, like you say, he's took us out, and I feel like the Lord, he's brought us back in the way he's become flesh. And back in the neighbourhood, and that's where we are. And and he's prepared like a ministry for us now, called the Open Well. And that's where we are now at the moment. Now,
what does that look like then? What happens with the Open Well?
Well, the Open Well. Well, I'm sorry, you know, I've just remembered what you said there about where. I've always opened my house to the broken people. I had my little niece living with us for 3 years, who was a heroin addict and a crack cocaine. A mother that passed away, and she said to me, before she passed away, can you please look after our Stacey? Not in the family, you disown her, but I had a heart for her because I understood addiction. And I brought her into my home. It was difficult. But like, that was my training ground for things, you know. God was preparing me for other things, you know, and I could see that. And she lived in our house for 3 years, and I've always had a heart for the broken people. For people, I've always had a heart for people's struggles. I understand people, you know, and I've always had my house open, welcome to people. I've always like wanted to see. Bring people in to see the witness of what God's done in my life, to witness to people. So I've been doing that for a long time, because the church that I was in, you know, sometimes they didn't have the ability to do that. The gift what God was giving us, we were doing, you know what I mean? And I've been doing that for a long time. And obviously now with the open well, God's moved us now back in the South Bank, and he's prepared a ministry in where we all gather, eat food, share the gospel, bring speakers in. And like, we've had it open now 6 weeks now, and there's 100% attendance now. There's 63% of them people, the non-believers, coming. We've had about 16 salvations, people giving their lives. And people are so desperate in South Bank for change. They're absolutely desperate. And we don't have to do now. We're just turning up and just being the hands and feet. Just being loving to these people that have never seen it. And God's moving. He's blessing it. He's moving on it. And I'm excited because it's where my heart is. Don't know if it's a Greek in us. I love fellowship and food and coming together. It says bread and wine together and have fellowship together and sing hymns together and you know what I mean? And it's just witnessing, just humbly serving. That's the most satisfying thing you can ever do is serve, man. It takes it off yourself. And it's really learned me and humbled me to where I am today. Do you know, it really has. Do you know what I mean? Because when you humbly serve the broken people, man, you know what I mean? It does something, it humbles you so much, man. Do you know what I mean? And I believe God's been preparing this, my training ground for about 6 years, and he's brought me back into South Bank, where my heart is, and I know my heart's always been in South Bank. It's never ever wandered anywhere else, you know. And we've done a lot of investment in people in South Bank, and when we've opened it, people have trusted us to know who we are. You know what I mean? And the teams they've just come and wanted to help. We haven't looked. The team's already there. There's 12 of us now. And then we're doing a big, massive carnival. Remember years ago, with the carnivals and jazz bands and that? Mm. Well, we're going to do a community event with the jazz bands and parade the streets with all the organisations and the banners and get the community all together for free, and just get the South Bank community back buzzing again. Just get everybody together on the field where Paul lives. That big field.
I remember must be when I was 14, so I can't even do the maths. It was back in the 90s, not in the late 80s. I remember the Baptist church.
So when you had a curly bib.
A big tash and a beer mat jumper. You remember where they used to?
Beer mat, remember them? Yeah, I had one on the back. Quality them, weren't they? I remember having one of them. Yeah, big beer mat. I love that.
Balls all stitched together and that.
I had one. Can I had a purple one, my lad blows. Go on. Yeah, I remember them.
Well, I remember the Baptist Church doing an event, like the stocks, you know, where you get put in the stocks and get...
Yeah,
there'd be a big event there. Well, again, it's like, because I grew up in the town where you're ministering, and I started off my ministry in that town as well. That's where we first met. I'm excited for what you're doing, to see what God is doing through you and through Krista and through others who live there. And I've been training recently about Christian leadership and some of the obstacles faced with men from our backgrounds in becoming Christian leaders, and how if you haven't got a good education, you can't go to Bible college, you can't study for a degree.
Yeah.
And most routes into ministry, you need a degree or academic qualifications. Yet the biblical qualifications for an elder, one of the most important, I feel, is hospitality, which you've got tons of.
Oh, man.
But also, when you think of learning, you mentioned there that a lot of the learning God has been preparing you
from day one,
your whole life. So just go back a little bit, because before, well, you're still working now, you said you're a working man, but what were some of the temptations and obstacles that faced you when you were going into this workplace, which, let's be honest, these guys are tough men who you're working with. You're not going into
hospital.
You're working with like riggers and labourers and men about town. What were some of the temptations that faced you, and what were the struggles and some of the highs and lows of being a Christian working in a very people talk about toxic masculinity, and I suppose if there was going to be an example of toxic masculinity, it's some of it will be found on these construction sites where you've been working.
It's just when I went on, like before, when I used to go to work, you know what I mean? I used to just, you know, it's like gossiping, getting the gossip, everyone's whinging, whining, moaning, you know what I mean? People, all that stuff. And I remember one of my jobs, first job, going over on the MGT site, we were doing this big, massive building, this big biomass, big boiler house. And when I went on there, you know, there was people who knew I was a Christian and that, you know. And like I've always said to myself, workplaces, churches, prisons, any organisations are all good places. It's the people in them that you've got to deal with. You're getting your character building. And you know what I mean? And it's no matter where you go in life, that's how it is. And when I realised the struggles of men, I started getting eyes to see. Not, I didn't see it before, but there was this, that gospel needs to be in them workplaces more than anything. There's men there, man, are just like robots. They're just switched on and all of work. Or some of them are they're whinging about the wives and all that, man. All that, yeah. And that, they're spending this and that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why have you married them, man? You know what I mean? If you're not happy, you know. But like, persecutions and that. I had all that before I come to law, so it put me in good stead in them workplaces, you know what I mean? And I think my character in God, you know what I mean, the way I am and all, I'm quite a likeable guy, you know what I mean? And people see me as a good lad, you know what I mean? And I get on with a lot of people, and I'm very approachable, and I've talked to anyone, me, do you know what I mean? I'm quite real and transparent with people. So, like, the workplace I'm in now, it's quite bizarre now. Where was I was working on the mine, and it was quite toxic on there. Do you know what I mean? And then I ended up getting laid off, and I lost my job, and ended up getting a job now 10 minutes down the road, not far away from where I live. So that's a blessing. I'm only 10 minutes down the road. But before I started the job, my wife was quite concerned about the men who were going to work with. So she prayed for me this one morning, that God will put good men round us. Mm. And anyway, when I went to work, I had been related with these two lads called Kenny and a lad called John. And the ground workers, they're from Scunthorpe, from Scunny. So for weeks and weeks and weeks, I've been getting on with these guys, you know what I mean? Getting a good, strong bond with them, having a good laughing out with them. And this one time, this joiner I was talking to called Jimmy, an old pigeon man he is, talking about pigeons all the time, saying to us, go to your mates in South Bank and get a good remedy for my pigeons. No, how to talk to pigeon blokes, they're funny, aren't they? Anyway, the queer mushers, anyway, I was talking to Jimmy, and I gave him one of Graham Sage books, because he was talking about my faith. I was telling him about my faith and that, how God's changes. I told him, you know what I mean? I always do when I go on the airplane. I always end up telling him about my testimony. I'm full of it all the time, yeah. And anyway, I bought my Graham Sage book. Anyway, these two kids come up to us, we'll get on with the wind. And he was talking about massive change in him. And they said, oh, what's that, Nicky? He said, oh, I'm a Christian. And that, they went, shut up, you're not a Christian. They want to play that when you're not a Christian. Thought, wow, geez, mate, you know what I mean? They went, you're not a Christian. I said, I am. He said, shut up, we are. I went, shut up, man. He said, we are. We're back to some fully submerged, baptized Christians in the Pentecostal church. I thought, I looked at them like that. I thought, you winding us up, mate, and the yard away. Yeah. And he would have been coming to the well where they've been coming and supporting us and that man. Mm-hmm. But like, my faith has brought them back to faith because they went back. They've been going back to church and that man. So God answered the prayer there, bringing us around good men and that, you know, the prayers. But yeah, at the moment now, I'm in a good place at the workplace now. But trying to find, because my family life, I have to be a husband, I've got to be a brother to my brothers who will admit, know, who will work within that. And I've got to find a balance, you know what I mean? And I know at the time now, there's just enough now. I can't put no more on what I'm doing. Mm. Obviously, you know what I mean? I just keep where I am. And I know that, I'm aware that, you know what I mean? I can't, I know if I take too much on, man, I'll just fail. You know what I mean? I can't know that. You know, so I'm well aware of taking things on and saying, yeah, my yes is and my no's no's, you know what I mean? But from that, man, like every Tuesday night, we meet and it's powerful how God's moving in South Bank. And just people want to know more about God. Like before, I felt like the people weren't going out publicly, proclaiming him. Do you know what I mean? But we've been going out in the streets, evangelizing on the streets, and God's honoring it. Do you know, he's bringing the people.
And again, you're going out. You're sharing the gospel at work. You're sharing the gospel in the street. You're opening up your home. You're part of a church, and it's great. Me and Rachel were around your house having fellowship with you and Krista a couple of weeks back, and just to see you praying as a family. That your relationship is, which was built on drugs when you first met, and then you get saved, and now it's built on the Word of God. Just how vital is prayer and God's word to your marriage?
Massively vital. Without prayer, like prayer every day, it's got cultivating me every day. I can't wait, but without it. And you know what I mean? And I know I'm a weak man and I need God in my life. You know what I mean? I know my weaknesses. You know what I mean? And I come in with my weaknesses. And I know I'm weak, I know I need God. So prayer is massive for me. You know what I mean? I've disciplined myself before. I wasn't disciplined. So I put these disciplines in my life. Do you know what I mean? And my loyalties were to the world, to people who were loyal to me. But my loyalties are now to the Heavenly Fathers and my father that I never had. Didn't have a father. Didn't know what love was. Didn't know what a father's love was. But I'm not complaining because I've only had one father, and it's the Heavenly Father, and it's the perfect love he's ever given us. So winner, winner for me. I don't know what I mean. There's only one father I know, and that's the Lord. Do you know what I mean? And that's so, to me, what he's done for me, the blessings that he's given us, and the miracles he's done in my life, man, that's the only way I can go. Do you know what I mean? There's no way of going back. Do you know? So loyal to him because what he's done and how faithful he is. Before, man, I was just broken, so lost. Do you know what I mean? It's like my gratitude to him is overwhelming. Do you know what I mean? That's a personal level with him. You know what I mean? It's overwhelming. Well, you know.
Yeah, it's clear to see when you spend time with you and Krista, it's clear to see the love you have for the Lord, the love you have for each other, for the church and for the lost. And again, just the importance of prayer, of having the word, not just, I think so often as gospel workers, me in particular, Matt, I was so good at taking the gospel out into the street, but I'd often fail in the home. Do you know what I mean? That was my biggest I'd pray for others and forget to pray for myself. I'd pray for marriages and neglect my own. And yeah, I think that is something that I'm always reminded of when I'm with you with Krista. Me and Rachel always say that the zeal you have for the Lord and one another is really encouraging. And again, so often is missing from training when we're training men of God up. And I think you hit the nail on the head there saying that you never had a father, and the only father you had was is the Father in heaven.
No. Can't get better than that, can you, brother? You know what I mean?
So that example you have, that love you have for the Father, that that joy in your heart that you have, must be like a light that's shining in that community, especially with the men that you're working with. Just like explain some of the darkness that you're working with, that you're encountering every day, because a lot of what men are lost today. They don't know how to be men. They've never had fathers to show them how to be men. It's just
a lot of the men who I work with have come from broken relationships, kids, broken families, addictions, and stuff. And I see a lot of men, like, that's why marriage is so important to God. God is marriage, isn't he? And he's, like, I'll go back with to where you just said there, with you were going out and you're good at doing the gospel outside, but not in the home. It's like, the Lord's done me. He's blessed me with a beautiful wife that who comes and pray together with us. You know what I mean? So like, that's a good foundation where both of you come and have prayer together. And then the Lord's done that in me and Krista. I got lost a bit there. What was I said before that?
You're just talking about how marriage is key, really.
A lot of the men who are working with it struggling, being even Christian men, are struggling with being alone without a wife. And I can't say nothing with it. I can only give them scriptures and stuff. Yeah, but I'm married. You know what I mean? I've got a wife, so I don't know what it's like to be alone and that battle alone without a partner. Do you know what I mean? And they're not alone, obviously, because of Jesus, but like, I don't know, I'm walking in the shoes of them. And there's a lot of men that are suffering from, obviously, and they're going to the sexual sin parts, you know what I mean? And it's a problem. You know what I mean? They go into wrong relationships, they end up separating from God, from stuff, you know what I mean? From it, and it separates them, and they feel the guilt and shame come upon them and that. And then, you know what I mean? They don't come back to churches and that. They think they get judgment on them, you know what I mean? And obviously, they have to learn and repent and no, God's grace is sufficient for them, you know what I mean? And they can come back to God, you know what I mean? And that's for repentance and turn from it. But there's a lot of broken families from men, you know what I mean? With the left kids and the damaged marriages, exactly where me and Krista was, do you know what I mean? When I had to leave my home, do you know what I mean? Because of the sin in my life and the choices that I was making. You know what I mean? So there is a load and load of men that are in. And I haven't come across a married man yet. Do you know what I mean? And he only went, I was off mad this, because I used to always, every Sunday, she always go to the social club, like church, you know what I mean? On every Sunday, I used to do it. And I was religion every Sunday in the club. I full of drink, and I went out not long ago to the Albion. I like to show my face in the community now and then, even in them places, you know what I mean. And I was just having a few drinks with my brother Charlie, who's been a Christian now for 2 years, And I looked around, brother, man. It was like disco night, and it was all men, no wives. And I just thought, this is the problem, man, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? People are just living they're just living on their own, you know what I mean, and jumping about, man, and that's the problem. They can't keep a relationship. They don't maturely power through them with relationships. Do you know what I mean? They give in. I did, until I found the Lord, and the Lord matured me to power through my relationship, work in my marriage. It's been hard. Like I say, it's not easy. Being married, do you know what I mean? We all fall short, you know? But we come maturely. God, the Lord's matured us to get past all that stuff before. Do you know what I mean? Work together, because me and my wife were so against each other before in the world. We never agreed on anything. We're so against each other, where the Lord has turned it round for the glory of Him and has put us together as one, as two flesh become one. He's put us together strong. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it blows me away. I'm thinking to myself, I mean, you never agreed on now, man. Not a thing.
Yeah.
But now, man, do you know, it's just wonderfully worked the miracle out, man.
Oh, mate. It is, and I think one of the things that I've struggled with in, and I don't think this is just with, I don't think it's just with men from our culture, but I think men in general in the UK just quit us. I don't know, like you say, especially with the faith, a lot of the men that I've discipled and that they meet with the Lord, that they're excited, they're on cloud nine, and as soon as trouble comes, they're off, whether it's temptation for women or for drugs or what. Why do you think men from our background who were so tough and durable and wouldn't back down from a fight physically?
Run away from the emotions.
Yeah, run away from
emotionally. They've scattered, yeah. When it's sensitive things, they run, but they'll fight anyone, yeah. But they run away from the emotions, yeah. What I see is, it's like, because they haven't had strong men in their lives, do you know what I mean? And it's like, they haven't come from backgrounds of good marriages, do you know what I mean? Obviously, their families have been into whatever, the same, you know what I mean? So they've picked up on how they cope, and it follows on, doesn't it? It's like I say, you try and put a biblical to women. You're like, I can always remember you saying this to me, and I laugh. I do laugh. You know what I mean? They love all the love and that you give them. As soon as you speak biblical truth, boom. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, but I've lost loads of friends. It's not me, brother, that you should get angry with. It's what God says, mate. I am only saying it. If you read your Bible, it's in the Bible, brother. Do you know what I mean? I'm not here to judge you, man. It's just, you have to live. You can't just, you become a Christian, yeah, you struggle, but you have to read your word, because if you don't read your word or your Bible, how on earth are you going to know who God is? How are you going to know His character? How are you going to know His promises? How are you going to be in line with His will? But like you say, you can lead a lot of soul, but you can't make a drink sometimes, you know what I mean? But that's like I say, at the moment now, with the well and stuff like that, it's like we're meeting up on the week. But like, I mean, I'm trying to find out try to get other things going, but not take it too fast. You know what I mean? Wait for the, because there's a lot of layers to come off it. You know what I mean? And it's just waiting patiently for that to happen and not rushing into it. Just keep laying it out to God and just let Him work it out. Do you know, and all, you know what I mean? As we just walk with Him. But what our concerns and all, whatever we've got, you know what I mean? We cover it in prayer, you know.
Yeah, it's been great. I think I need your battery beeping in the background. Are you running out of juice?
I've got it on. You've got it on, brother.
It must be a piss maker.
Is that a plate, mate? I say, that's enough now, Nick. I'll see you later. I'll go for something to eat.
We don't do polite.
Oh, you don't be any now, Nick. You see you later now.
but before we do go, bro, that's like one thing that like I love about our culture, but I can put some people off who don't know us, is the banter. So just before we finish, let's have a little crack. And I used to love going down the boxing club with you down there, your champion's gym, and like just the abuse that we'd give. It was, yeah. Just share a little bit about what banter means to men from council estates.
Oh, brilliant! When we used to meet up in the gym, that's when I was early in my faith. That's like we all used to get together, didn't we, as Christian brothers and that. But like, just basically rip each other, didn't we? Can't call each other like silly names, like we used to call Trussy and that. It was built like a meerkat one. Man, it was just good light-hearted banter, wasn't it? Good fun, man. I miss them days. It was good, wasn't it? It was really good, do you know what I mean? Well, that's what I mean. I never had a job then, so I had plenty of time to go to the gym.
Never had a job with a six-pack.
Yeah, what was I doing? I was doing a lot of work service, and that's what really humbled us on all a bit, because I'd done a lot of service in our church, and I'd done a lot of food bank, on the working on the tables, done that for about 18 months. So that's what grew me, and all in like serving and seeing people's struggles and that. In the food bank and praying for people and encouraging them and just listening to them and giving them advice and stuff and just you know what I mean, just giving them a bit of hope, you know. So that was I first started doing that in my early walk, just doing a bit of serving there. But like you say, the gym, man, it was funny, man. Remember when you were sparring with young Paul?
Yeah.
With your Esther?
Yeah.
And what about he was kicking you on me.
He knocked me out.
He was kicking. Yeah, he was kicking your leg and he was going, Ian, man, move your leg. And you went, I can't, Paul. He said, why can't you? He said, I'm chopping your leg down. He said, because it's dead. I can't move. I can't even lift it up.
Yeah. Funny that, yeah, and he knocked me out.
Yeah.
Esther shouted, practice what you preach, Dad.
quality.
But again, I think it's that sign of like love, isn't it? An affection which you're not allowed to show from our culture by saying, I love you, brother, or giving your own. You just give some abuse instead, don't you?
Yeah, that's the one. And it took me over, like, I've only started saying love you, but as a Christian, yeah. never ever said I love you to anyone else, because obviously I didn't love who I was until I met the Lord, you know what I mean? And it comes naturally with young, I love you, brother, and my brothers are on the mountain, do you know what I mean? It just comes out naturally now, you know? And it's just a natural thing now, you know what I mean? I even say that to like lads who are work with and that, they're like, look at us, love you, mate. How are you doing, pal? Like, but yeah, man. Like I say, it's good to have a lot of support and all, you know what I mean? And as you go into that role of ministry or whatever, I'm blessed to have a good team around us who have got the heart for the gospel and to build the kingdom. They all want to serve. Mm. Do you know what I mean? They all want to be part of what's going on. And we never asked to come to us. Mm. It felt like the Lord said to us, don't go and ask people. People will come. and we just sat back and people have just come. Do you know what I mean? We have, you know what I mean? We've just turned up and people are coming. And it's like you say, people, it's like the attraction where, remember where the Queen of Sheba, when she went and met Solomon, and for the council and everyone was talking about his wisdom and that, and were coming from ships all over. It's like that, isn't it? It's like the well's open now and people are hearing the good news. People want to be part of it. They're coming. It's an attraction. They want to be part of it. Well, what's happening here? What's all this about? And they're coming. Do you know? And it's good to have a good support round and all. Do you know what I mean? Like yourself and stuff. You know what I mean? I can call on you when it happens. You know what I mean? Because you've been through it. So you could give a good advice, do you know what I mean? Because I'm only from a council estate. I'm no big chavvy, you know what I mean? No big hitter. You know what I mean? I'm just a council. I'm a kid from a council estate who loves Jesus. And that's it. Do you know what I mean? That's basically it. You know what I mean? Who loves the Lord?
I tell you what, bro, we'll end it there, but I'll be in touch about a palmo. You owe me a palmo.
Yeah. Trust me, brother. I tell you now, mate, once you taste one of my palmos, man, you will never go to a restaurant again. I'm thinking about opening my own palmo. Nick the Greens. Nick the Papadopoulos's.
Ross Flatley.
What?
Stavros Flatley.
Hey, that was funny, that man. Paul's wedding, that was brilliant, that the speech. And they used to call him Donnie, and yes, because you'd be a bodybuilder. They used to call me Vin Diesel. Now they call me Stavros Flatley now. Quality.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me, Yeri. Been a pleasure. Thanks a lot, mate. Appreciate that.
Oh, no worries, mate.
All right, brother.
You on the In Context podcast.
You what, brother?
So thanks for joining me on the In Context podcast.
Yeah, man.
Nice one.
Well, it's the first time, but as they always say, I could talk a glass of eye to sleep.
You've just talked about all of our listeners to sleep.
I know they've all went to gym now. Just put this video on for your kids when they go to sleep. They've got like bedtime starting.
nice one, bro. I'll catch you later.